Video, welcome, welcome, welcome. Always good to get together, we say. So very thankful for your attendance today. If you'd like to follow along with the lesson this morning, there's an outline on the back of the bulletin that comes from the text that was read to us this morning in Psalm 37. By way of introduction, I'm going to key on verse 35 of the text, where the psalmist says, I've been young, now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. I like that. I'm old. But we want to be among the righteous. I want to be among those that do right because of the blessing that's given in the text today. You see, in times of difficulty and in times of hardship, when we all go through those, there's some struggles. There's wickedness surrounding us. We don't want to be alone. I don't want to be forsaken in the midst of troubles and trials. And in verse 14, it tells about the wicked. The wicked plot against us. Oh, my. I have enough troubles. Verse 32, the wicked watch the righteous and seek to slay them. Oh, my. So the writer of this psalm gives us hope. He says in verse 33, the Lord will not leave us. The Lord will not keep us or put us in the hands of the wicked when we do that which is right. So I put in your notes this Psalm 37. It gives principles that will increase our reliance on God. It will anchor us when we feel like we're having times of troubles or times of hardship. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Seems like we're being pressed on every side from the world and its ways. I need some help from above. And that's what this lesson is. These are principles. I've listed seven of them. There's more. I'm just going to list seven principles from Psalm 37. Number one is trust in the Lord. It's in verse 3. And by definition of trust, it means to be confident. It means I'm going to have a strong sense of priority. I want to put my dependence. And trust is a choice that we make. I'm going to choose to trust in the Lord. It's found several more times in the chapter. In verse 5, trust also in Him. In verse 40, it said, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked, save them, because they trust in Him. When we look around us, we see the wickedness, we see the hardship, we see the troubles, we see the trials, and we're in the midst of that, many of us. And when the storms of life approach and troubled times come, our trust is going to be challenged. So we want to make that choice of where we put our trust. It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. In Psalm 61, verse 2, it says, from the end of the earth, I'll cry to you. In other words, when I'm at my wit's end, when it seems like, can I get any lower than what I am now? What am I going to do? I'm at my wit's end. I'll cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you've been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Yeah, when we have hardships in life, where are we going to go? And to whom shall we turn? I'll put my trust in the Lord. That's what the psalmist is saying. In Psalm 57, verse 1, be merciful to me, O God. He says it again, be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you. In the shadow of your wings, I'll make my refuge. until these calamities have passed by. That's what I want. Deliverance from the hardships, the difficulties, the calamities, the things I don't understand. Where will I go and to whom will I trust? I put my trust in the Lord, number one. Number two, in the same verse, trust in the Lord and do good. You see, it's when you can't change the circumstances, we have to change our attitude, don't we? Because there's some circumstances in life I can't change. I have to live with it. So I need to change my attitude. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord, and then I'm going to do good. Trust is an act of the mind, and doing good is an act of the hands and the feet. So I'm going to think right, then I'm going to do right when there's difficulties. The psalmist admonishes us to first think right and then to act right. And by thinking right, I'm going to trust in an unshakable God. And I'm going to act right by doing good. Principles of life. We're in the midst of what we don't understand or can't change. I'm going to trust in God and I'm going to do right. Principle of life. Number three, still in verse three, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. Oh, you understand the word feed. It says feed on. There's some, Psalm is saying, come to the spiritual table and eat. Come to the spiritual table and feast. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. The Word of God is not going to run out. There's plenty of admonitions and exhortations in God's Word. So feed on God's faithfulness. Come to that spiritual table. There's no excuse when you come to God's Word to go away hungry. Jesus, in his Beatitude in Matthew 5, verse 6, said there's a blessing for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they'll be filled. So he says, trust in the Lord, number one, do good, and feed on his faithfulness. Come to that spiritual table and eat. His faithfulness. I want to feed on the knowledge that God is bound to fulfill his promise. I want to feed on the idea that God is above reproach. Feed on God's faithfulness. He's dependable. He will always be there. He's reliable. He's constant. He's loyal. He's tried and true. How many illustrations do you need? Trust in the Lord. Do good. Feed on his faithfulness. Don't let the things you don't understand discourage you. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 14, says, if we are faithless, sometimes we get that way, God is faithful. God's not like us. Well, I get discouraged. God doesn't. God's faithful. I get unfaithful. God doesn't. Feed on God's faithfulness. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. In Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. God promised. So what am I going to do when I seemingly get discouraged about the world around me? I'm trusting God. I'm going to do good. I want to feed on his faithfulness. He's dependable. Others may not answer our call or answer our cry, but God will. God's faithful. Reliable, above reproach. What God has promised, he'll do. Feed on God's faithfulness. Number four, it's in verse four. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord. So now trust in the Lord, now delight yourself in the Lord. You may not find delight in the circumstances you're in. That's not what the verse says. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. in Psalm 16, a different psalm, but Psalm 16, verse 11. The psalmist says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forever." I want you to delight yourself in the Lord. You're not always going to find delight in the world you live in, or that we live in. But we can find delight in the Lord. Feed on His faithfulness. How can we delight in God, especially when our world sometimes seems to crash around us and we get discouraged? In Psalm 119, I just had a list of things here with King on that word delight. These are all from Psalm 19. And the word delight is used 6 times, and it shows us how to find delight. So we're asking, delight yourself in the Lord. So Psalm 119, verse 16. "I'll delight myself in your statutes. I'll not forget your word." Verse 35, "Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." Verse 69 and 70, "I'll keep your precepts with my whole heart. I delight in your law." Verse 77, "Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight." Verse 92, "Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished from my affliction." Oh, wait a minute, the text, the principle number 4 is delight yourself also in the Lord. In verse 174, "I long for your salvation, O Lord. Your law is my delight." How am I going to be delivered from my affliction or my discouragement? Or seemingly what goes on around me is going to win the battle. I'm going to delight myself in the Lord, and I delight myself in the Lord by delighting myself in His word. Feed on God's faithfulness. That's how we delight in the Lord. Number 5, verse 5. "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." In other words, He'll get us through it. You ever be in a situation, think, when will this ever end? How am I going to get through this? Oh, verse 5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord." There is an answer, a principle of life. When there's hardships or struggles or trials, the 5th principle of Psalm 37 is, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. He'll bring it to pass." If you commit to something, it means you're going to give it your all. And you know the definition of commitment. It means you're not going to do something halfway or give it a temporary effort. Or you're not going to give it just the feeling of the moment. Commit. Oh, that's the word of encouragement. That's the word of exhortation. You think you can't get through it? Commit yourself to the Lord. You think your struggle is going to win? Commit yourself to the Lord. You think your hardship will never end? Commit yourself to the Lord. And He says, commit your way to the Lord. Your way, meaning your choice, your self-serving direction, your path, your way of thinking. Wow. But we have to do it. Oh, God, I want what you have to offer. Then commit your way to the Lord. Do it His way. To the Lord, submit, repent, be converted. Have it your way, God. It's an attitude that says, if I'm going to commit myself to the Lord, present myself before God, and it's the attitude that looks up and says, God, if you speak, I'm going to listen. God, if you command, I'll obey. I'm going to commit myself to the Lord. God, if you send, I'll go. You commit yourself to the Lord. It's a choice that you make. You want to enjoy the life and get through struggles and trials and hardships and things you don't understand. In Psalm 10, verse 14, it says, "The helpless commits himself to you, God, I can't get through this by myself. I'm helpless. I don't see any way out. My strength is failing. The helpless commits himself to you. You see, the storms of life many times will render us helpless. Sometimes the storms that we encounter in life are too heavy for us to bear alone. And so God says again, and so this time in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. We can win over the hardships of life and the wickedness that sometimes prevails against us. Commit your burden to the Lord. He's not going to permit you to be moved. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, he says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. He cares. But to be successful, I need to commit myself to the Lord. Commit my way to his way. A principle of life. Number 6. In verse 7 of the psalm, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. The word wait is used 2 more times in this psalm. In Psalm 37, verse 9 says, evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord will inherit the earth. In other words, we'll learn how to live in the midst of hardship and struggles. We'll learn how to live in the midst of wickedness in our land if we wait on the Lord. In verse 34, wait on the Lord, keep his way. He will exalt you in the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Oh, I'm going to have to wait sometimes. Waiting doesn't come easy, does it? What do you mean, wait? I can't wait. That old illustration of the guy that prays for patience and says, Lord, give it to me now. I want patience, but I want it now. But the psalmist is saying sometimes we're going to have to wait for things. I know we as parents did that with our children when they were young. They may ask for something. Or we may say, yes, but not right now. You have to wait. You have to wait. The answer is yes, I'm going to give you what you need. But you have to wait. You have to wait. Some things just take time. We plant a seed, we have to wait. Water, nurture it, treat it right, and then we watch it grow. Some things just take time. Education. I don't want to discourage my grandchildren, but I have a granddaughter in kindergarten. I don't want to tell her this, but you know, you have to, after kindergarten, there's first grade, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11, 12. You're going to have to wait to get that high school diploma. A lot of years. Some things just take time. Wait on the Lord. Wait. Do all of these other things. Psalm 27, verse 14. Says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14. Some things just have to wait. The last one, number 7. Oh, don't fret, he said. Oh, don't, what do you mean don't fret? You know the situation I'm in? I have a struggle. I have a hardship. I have a disappointment. Some things I can't change. What do you mean don't fret? But he said, don't fret because of him who prospers in his way. Yeah, look at him. He's doing everything wrong. And look, he's having everything good. And look at me. God, I'm on your side, but I don't feel so blessed. What's the problem, Lord? Oh, but don't fret because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man that brings the wicked schemes to pass. Don't fret over the wickedness you see in the world. Because God cares for us. And David urges us in this psalm, don't worry, don't fret. Meaning, by definition, don't fume or chafe. Don't brood or mope. Don't become impatient or irritable. Don't let something gnaw at you to take away your joy and your peace. Don't fret over some difficulties in life. Psalm 37, verse 1, don't fret because of evildoers. Verse 7, don't fret because of him who prospers in his way. Verse 8, don't fret, it only causes harm. Solomon said in Proverbs 24, verse 19, don't fret because of evildoers and don't be envious of the wicked. What do you mean don't fret? Seems like the wicked don't have any hardships or problems or struggles like I'm going through. What do you mean don't fret? Oh, then in the Psalm, Psalm 37, one we're looking at, what's going to happen to those that are outside of Christ? What's going to happen to the wicked? What's going to happen to those who are not righteous? Verse 2, Psalm 37, verse 2. They shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Verse 10, for yet a little while the wicked shall be no more. Verse 20, the wicked shall perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the splendor of the meadows. They'll vanish into smoke. They'll vanish away. Verse 34, when the wicked are cut off, you'll see it. Verse 35 and 6, I've seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a native green tree, yet he passed away, and behold, was no more. Indeed, I sought him, and he couldn't be found. Don't fret over the wicked. God's going to take care of that. Did you get all of those things? They'll be cut down, they'll be no more, they'll perish, they'll vanish, they'll be cut off. They won't be found. So there's principles of life in Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord. Do things that honor him. Dwell on his faithfulness or feed on his faithfulness. Number four, delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And don't fret. And don't fret. Well, I feel good when I fret sometimes. I just want to fret. Get in that mood. When are you going to take care of them, God? Don't fret. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. At the close of each lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. It's an invitation for you to come and be on God's side. It's an invitation for you to become a Christian. As Jesus' last words before he ascended back to the Father after his earthly ministry, he said in Matthew 28, and beginning verse 18, he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He commissions his disciples, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Preach the gospel to the whole creation. Yeah, preach it to him. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. The message of salvation we preach. But you need to be on God's side and come to God, God's way. If that's your desire, if that's your wish, that's your resolve, you have that opportunity right now. We're going to stand, and let's go ahead and Ron come up here. Let's stand together with a song. We call it a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. If that's your desire to be a Christian and stand on God's side, you have that opportunity this morning.